God made you to win. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, I am here to reminisce with some of you, and for the rest of you, introduce you to a very specific part of evangelical pop culture as I sit down to review John Jacobs and the Power Team Touches the World. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. If you grew up in evangelical Christianity, or if you live far enough south, Bible Belt kind of area, the Power Team is going to be something that you are very familiar with, and you may have gotten a little bit of a nostalgic pop by hearing me hearing me introduce today's film. For those of you who are unaware of who the Power Team are, back in the 70s, John Jacob, Jingleheimer Schmidt, sorry, I had to. John Jacob launched a group called the Power Team. They hit their height of popularity kind of late 80s through the 90s, went through a tumultuous early 2000s with scandal and bankruptcy, but lo and behold, they, as the dust settled, they managed to get through it, and still to this day, under new management, the Power Team is still around. And basically what they would do, and presumably still continue to do, is that they would host what it was more commonly referred to at the time as a crusade. We should probably not have ever been calling things that, but they host a revival. So they show up at your church and they do sermons and give sermons and testimonies about how your sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is offering you salvation and all of this. And a lot of Jacob's messages were about, you know, what can stop the pain of divorce, the pain of addiction, things like that. And so the pain of the AIDS epidemic, which was going on during the height of their popularity. So, and showing, you know, freedom in Jesus Christ. They would do that kind of a message at churches, or they would do assemblies at schools, doing a bit more because they couldn't be like overtly religious in these settings. So they would do a little bit more of like, your life has meaning and purpose, and you are valuable, and you should live life with purpose and be driven and not settle for mediocrity, and, you know, you can do great things. That kind of like, you know, that like kind of self, you know, purpose driven kind of lifestyle talk. They would do those things. And then, of course, as you would probably assume, they would then, you know, do the obvious thing of snap Louisville Sluggers over their knees, or break ice blocks with their forearms, or bend steel bars that they're holding between their teeth, or bench press logs, or telephone poles. Yeah, they, you know, regular church stuff, am I right? Yeah, they were or still continue to be a Christian strongman team. So they would do these revival style messages, salvation, or these like, your life has meaning and purpose, you can do great things kind of like assembly messages, and in between do carny sideshow strongman tricks. And I'm sure to some of you out there who have never experienced the glory of the Power Team, you're probably like, that's weird and cringe. And to tell you the truth, it is a little bit. But one, let me just tell you this, not the worst thing I've ever seen, not the cringiest one. I've seen I don't even know what you call it. It's not interpretive dance, but like these like spoken word musical play things, glow stick performances, chalk art, painters. This one was a little bit before my time, but puppet ministries was like a big thing, doing like puppet shows. There for a while, I don't know if this is still going on, but there for a while, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, was running an indie pro wrestling promotion that they would do like sermons and testimonies in between matches. Like, this is kind of a thing where you, not so much anymore. Obviously, like I said, the power team is still around. So maybe in certain corners of evangelical Christianity, these things still kind of pop up. But, for the most part, you don't really see the, like, come to my church, there's going to be these guys doing cool sideshows, tricks, but there's going to be preaching too. Like, you don't see that as much anymore. Not that I'm complaining, not at all, but the you don't see it too often anymore. But it was especially up until like the early 2000s, basically when I'm like starting to like grow up in the church kind of thing, it's starting to hit more of like passe even by that point. But the power team persists. And as I said, very few things in evangelical pop culture has transcended the pop culture zeitgeist like the power team. I think their only competition would be VeggieTales. Everybody seems to have like a general idea of what VeggieTales are, and the Chronicles of Narnia. Those are probably the two things, and one of those certainly had a very big budget behind them and is going to continue to get a very big budget behind them with the reboot coming to theaters, developed by Netflix, directed by Greta Gerwig. Yeah, they're doing a theatrical release. That's how much they're banking on the Magician's Nephew. Magician's Nephew, that's where they're starting. They're going chronological. Sorry if I'm like, there may be people out there listening to this episode today that's going to be like, Brandon, you are speaking another language. Hang in there. It's going to be fun. I promise it's going to be fun. There just may be parts where you might have to pause and Google things to figure out what it is. So yeah, like the power team and a lot of evangelical pop culture does kind of hit a little bit of like weird cringe kind of thing. But the power team did transcend. They appeared in Walker, Texas Ranger. They competed for and did pretty well on America's Got Talent one season. They served as inspiration as for like characters that showed up in an episode of American Dad. The God Squad that shows up in The Righteous Gemstones on HBO, that was inspired by the power team. Like, they have a mark. And it doesn't matter, I say this genuinely, it doesn't matter if you're an ex-evangelical, how hard you have deconstructed, if you are a, you know, just super skeptical towards institutional religion, period. If you grew up in the culture, the evangelical pop culture, there are some things that, for lack of a better word, because of nostalgia, just you still kind of look back on fondly. I can sit here and nitpick the theology that they were presenting in the power team. I can nitpick some of the stuff that VeggieTales did, but I grew up on VeggieTales. I still love VeggieTales. Producer Cooper watches VeggieTales. To this day, I will die on this hill that Larry Boy has the best superhero catchphrase. I am that hero is the best superhero catchphrase, only rivaled to Darkwing Duck's "Let's get dangerous." Perfect. They're both perfect catchphrases. I grew up watching Bible Man, and I have so much nostalgic love for it. And hey, to other people, it probably sounds incredibly cringe to sit down and watch a 45-minute tape of Willie Ames of Charles in Charge dressed in a purple and yellow spandex suit of armor, battling baddies trying to teach teens about gossiping and lying while using his two most important weapons, a lightsaber and Bible verses. May sound like an incredibly cringe time to some of you. I don't regret it. I love Bible Man. It was so much fun. And look, don't get me wrong. If you listen to my seminary life, my sister show, you already know this, but like, I'm pro deconstruction. I'm basically an ex-evangelical. I was an ex-evangelical before I really even realized what an ex-evangelical was. I may predate ex-evangelicalism, honestly. And like, yeah, I get it. If you are skeptical towards institutional Christianity and the whole bit, my sympathies for you, because I'm sure you have experienced some kind of hurt in your life because of the church. But if I said the phrase, I'm giving up slowly, I'm blending in so you won't even know me. Now you have Reliant K stuck in your head for the rest of the week because they are bangers. So like I said, the Power Team hit their big mark like in the late 80s through the 90s, and they were doing pretty well for themselves. They were having regular specials on Christian Broadcast Network and other Christian television channels. They had a limited series comic book run at one point, and that the issues are like stupid expensive on eBay now, probably because they're limited. And in 1991, they released a film, a short, it's like hour-long movie, John Jacobs and the Power Team Touches the World. And this is essentially a highlight reel of their world tour. They did like a world tour in the like 90, 91, and this is a compilation of the messages and the stunts that they were doing. It kind of get it. You watch it and it's a little bit more like when a missionary visits your church and kind of gives like the highlight reel of like, this is what we're seeing God doing in whatever country we're serving in. And that's a little bit of the vibe here, interspersed with, you know, cool muscly stunts. I just love the fact that these guys were doing like these especially for the teens, like these talks about, you know, basically like dare kind of thing of like, you know, stay away from alcohol, stay away from drugs, but do as I say, not as I do, because PEDs, clearly some steroids are being used in to help bulk up these guys. But yeah, this is a world tour where they made stops in South Africa, which was a bit of a hot place there in the early 90s. South Africa, Jerusalem, London, England, all the way to the far, far reaches of Orlando, Florida. That was really funny to me. They're all over the country, and then also Orlando. Like, how did you get invited on the world tour? But the main focus of the film, if you look at it through more of the lens of like a documentary, is that the big thing is that they were able to go into Soviet Russia to do a tour of a few cities in Soviet Russia after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And that's pretty cool. And they talk about a lot in the film about how, you know, throughout the USSR era of Russia, there was, you know, Christians who were arrested and tortured to just for, you know, smuggling in Bibles or holding, you know, prayer meetings in their homes, and they were arrested and tortured and all this. But now we get to come here and proclaim the gospel of Jesus because of their faithfulness. The door was open and we're able to come in. And that's so cool. That is so cool that they were able to, like, you know, kind of reap the benefits of people who were like truly tortured for Christ. Wink. That's the name of a book. However, it's also like slightly, I don't know, there was something about it of like, wow, all that like faithfulness to the Lord, persecution, martyrdom, so that way a bunch of sweaty, muscly dudes could come break flaming bricks, break flaming concrete blocks in the name of Jesus. You know, there had to be one former KGB operative just like watching all of this and thinking to himself, this is what we were worried about. This is what we were so concerned about. These muscly, stupid Americans. That wasn't the only bit of irony in this film. Just like moments of like nobody, whoever was in charge of editing the clips didn't really, or, you know, kind of like outlining the progress of the film, didn't quite think this one through. So at one point, I think it's the Orlando part, he's doing a a little bit more of like a teen conversation about, you know, it, honestly, if this movie was made nowadays, this part would have a hefty trigger warning because he starts talking about teens who have come up to him to talk about how they are burning themselves, cutting themselves, suicidal, you know, just like the whole bit. It's like I said earlier, it's right around the time of the AIDS epidemic. So, you know, just like kind of using sex as a means to like just like fill the void and all this kind of stuff. Just like really dark, really heavy topic, only for the film to then transition to one of the guys headbutting a stack of concrete blocks that are on fire. Yeah, let's segue from the talk about self-harm to a guy willingly giving himself CTE. Like, I get it. I know that we didn't really understand all of that until, like, seriously 15 years ago or something like that. But come on. Like, who? Yeah, teens. Jesus can make you whole so that way you're not harming yourselves anymore. Now let's watch this guy headbutt bricks that are on fire. Thankfully, they were helping themselves out a little bit and at least using spacers so that way they could create more of a domino effect of break rather than just stacking the bricks on top of each other. That takes so much more force to break rather than having the spacers there, which are, if you don't know, they're like these little chunks of like plastic or wood that sit at the very edge of the item that you're trying to break, whether it's bricks or wood or whatever. It's so that way the break, the force gets distributed more evenly through the break and it becomes a little bit more neat and not it decreases the risk of injury. But with bricks, like the margin for error for injury is so high anyway. I've actually never done a brick break before. I've done plenty of board breaks. But like, I don't look, breaking bricks are cool and all. And like, these guys also do like cement or not cement, excuse me, ice blocks as well. But like, I don't feel the need to have to do it. I think at one point in time, I was like, I'm a martial artist and I've never broken a cement block. First off, I'm sure there's plenty of martial artists, good martial artists, who have never broken a cement block before. And two, like, I don't know. I think it was a little bit more of like a, I got to be a man and break cement with my hands. Bro, chill. Headbutting cement blocks that are on fire, though, is like by far the craziest thing that they do. Another one that is also extremely dangerous is they take those hot water bottles that you only see in Looney Tunes cartoons. No one has ever actually used one of those in real life, and they blow them up until they explode. And it's a fun visual and it pops loud. I've seen the Power Team. I saw the original group. I saw after they broke up from the scandal. A group of them started a rebranded team called Team Impact. And then I saw a third one, like another splinter group at one point. So that pop is loud, but they're just blowing into it and it expands a lot. But apparently the force at which the air comes back out when it does explode, if it goes back into their mouth, like it could like destroy their lungs or something like that. So super dangerous. Don't like that one. One that you don't see in this movie, but you could see if you just looked them up on YouTube or Reels or whatever, is that they will run through chunks of ice. Like the ice blocks are like, think of like a bag of ice you buy at the gas station, but whole. This is like the running through the block of ice is like they're basically delivering an edge spear through a block of ice the size of the Big Show. Like it's insane. Don't do that. Why do you want to get hurt? Why are you doing this to yourself? Those are the ones that I'm like, that is insane. Please do not do that. That is the do not try this at home. That and I thought of one more. These guys could probably do it. I don't think I could ever get strong enough to do this, but there's a key part of this that I hate. They take, like I said earlier, they take like a steel rod and they put it between their teeth and they bend it And like, I bet if you're strong enough and roided out enough, you could do that pretty easily. It's the fact that in to try and protect themselves a little bit, they stick like a cloth in their mouth, so they're not biting like straight down onto the steel rod. Smart move. I hate the feeling of fabric in my mouth. That is such a like a sensitivity thing that I hate it. I even hate it like when I go to the dentist and they take like a cotton swab or gauze or something to kind of like pat dry something. I'm getting like the heebie-jeebies just saying it out loud. I'm gonna hurl a little bit just talking about it. We're getting down near to the end of this episode, but I'll keep talking about some of the other tricks that they do. Once you get past those four, I feel like some of them start to become a little bit more obtainable. So they're snapping Louisville sluggers. Sometimes they stick it behind their back and like flex forward and snap it. That seems hard. But they're taking them and they're snapping them over their, not even their knee, like you see baseball players and they get really mad, but like higher up, almost like near their hip. And if you got a beefy leg, I feel like that's one. Look, I've watched pro wrestling. It takes a lot of feats of strength. I'm not going to deny the fact that these guys are strong and they need a lot of strength to do these tricks. Some of these things, though, I've watched pro wrestling long enough to know that if it comes from carnies, there's a gimmick. It's gimmicked somehow to try and protect themselves or make it a little bit easier, and they can just play up the showmanship a little bit. And there's something about the baseball bat. I'm speaking with way too much confidence. I've never had this much confidence, but there's something about snapping the baseball bat that makes me go, that might be obtainable. Another one that I know that is for sure obtainable, because this one is actually straight up a trick, is ripping a phone book in half. Nowadays, phone books, even if you get a Yellow Pages in your mailbox, they're wimpy. Like, producer Cooper could probably rip that thing in half. But like old school 80s and 90s phone books, when they were like big and floppy, if you try to rip it, it's kind of hard. Unless you push the binding together and rip down the binding. The glue is really thin, so you can actually like kind of trick your way through that one. It still takes some strength and good grip is what I've read before in order to pull that one off. It's also the same. They don't do this one, but it's similar to ripping a deck of playing cards. There's kind of this like, if you catch it at the right angle, they tear really easily. I'm trying to think if there's any other great power team feats of strength that I missed. I think those are all the main ones I can think of. I mean, they like kick boards, but come on, we can all do that. Truly, truly. Even a small child can kick their way through a board as long as it's the right thickness and they have the right understanding of what to do. Like, board breaks, not as scary as you may think they are. I did my first one for my yellow belt test at 8 years old. Like, you can you can do it, folks. I think those are all the main ones, at least. But if there's a power team impact, whatever Christian strongman stunt that you have seen before that I didn't mention here, leave it in the comments. I would love to check it out. And I want to try to do some of these, if I'm being honest. I'll have to go to the antique store and see if I could find some like old phone books or something. I want to try, but I'm going to have to hit the weights a little bit first. I'm very inconsistent with my weight training. Most of my workout comes from my literal job. I guess I could do some steroids to help I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. I'm not about steroids. I like my wiener the size that it is. I don't want it to be any smaller than it already is. So yeah, I'll probably need to hit the gym a little bit, bulk up a tiny bit, but I want to rip a phone book. There's like there's a thing there. I think that would be cool if I could rip a phone book. Some people were crushing watermelons with their thighs back in May to raise awareness for women's heart health, which I loved watching, and I almost did it, but I was like, I don't want to completely embarrass myself on this one. Would I watch John Jacob and the Power Team touches the world again? I don't feel the need to watch the movie again, only because if I have a craving to watch this kind of content, which sometimes I do because I like this stuff, it's pretty easy to find just like stunt compilations on YouTube or Reels or something. Would I buy a physical media copy of this? This kind of feels like a holy grail pull. Now, if I can find this on VHS, I would be pretty happy. I did find a listing for one on eBay for $40, which was about $35 more than I would be willing to pay. This seems like something that I could like be at a church rummage sale and find a copy for a nickel. You know what I mean? So I would be really cool to have a copy of this. The good news is for you listeners is that you don't have to shell out $40 to go watch this on VHS. You could just go into the description of this episode and find the link to it on YouTube. Yep, it is sitting there for free on YouTube, FBI warning and all, from the whoever ripped it to bootleg it onto YouTube. Just keep in mind, viewer discretion is advised. Trigger warning, there is talks about self-harm, suicide, and also Satanism, because we're just coming out of the satanic panic. So, you know, your teens may become an accidental Satanist if you send them to school. So the power team is here to lift heavy logs to save your child from hell and Satanists and stuff like that. It's a goofy good time. Go. It's an hour. You can do that. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And make sure you check out the other shows here on the Anazao Podcast Network, like Friday Night Frights, Systematic Ecology, and my sister show, My Seminary Life. You can follow the show on Instagram. I already talked about that. Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY, where this movie was on there. I've yet to find one of these obscure movies I've talked about, and it's not on Letterboxd. So far, Letterboxd has everything, which means these are the rules that we have to follow, folks. Since I was able to review it on Letterboxd, it is eligible for the Blessed Takayama Memorial Battle Royale 3 next February. And speaking of next year, hopefully you didn't miss the announcement in the Coming Soon episode earlier this week or on social media, but we got 2-year-long series for 2027, Sewer Vacation, Diving into the World of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Cinematic Showdowns, where each month I'll be reviewing a film that pits iconic actors or IPs against each other. I'm excited for this. That's it for today's episode. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.